Hey guys, Butters from South Park here. Just want to make sure you have your parents' permission to be listening to this. You know, sometimes we talk about some pretty racy things, like boobies. Well, I guess I'd better get going now. Enjoy the show.
Please state your name.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Please state your purpose.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. Read reviews, choose your own commission plan, and learn more about Mark at markcharter.com.
Now, hear this.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Mark Charter.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more Adam Gray.
And Adam Gray.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to this week's podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic. It's courtesy of Mark Charter Real Estate. Of course, you can learn more about Mark Charter at markcharter.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Iowa Real Estate.
Yep.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Mark Charter Real Estate business page. Yeah, I do.
You haven't been updating that lately.
It's been busy.
Yeah.
Can I start the program, by the way, with a as Chris mutes my mic.
No, I'm trying to figure it out.
You're with a public mea culpa of sorts, an apology.
I mean, it's your podcast, so you can do whatever the hell you want.
From last week, so.
Did you offend somebody?
I offended my wife, apparently, but in a general sense. So, I got home last week, and you guys are probably thinking, what were we talking about last week? But my wife knows me well. In fact, we are currently married. That hence why she's my wife. But 19 years ago, this month was our first date.
Okay.
So we've been together a really long time.
Wow.
And my wife knows me very, very well, and she gets pissed off at me when the person that she knows doesn't come through. And she said last week was a case of this. So another way to put it is her radar is really good.
I think it's like, really nice that your wife actually listens.
She listens every week, dude.
Yeah, that's
religiously.
Nice. My wife doesn't give two craps about what I'm doing.
No, my wife definitely listens every week, but she knows me really well. So, like, over the course of the years, like, if there's, like, you know, a female or something that's paying special attention to me, like, her radar goes off. She just knows it. She's like, you got to watch out for that girl because she has bad intentions. And more often than not, she's right, which is crazy. So, the point of that is that she knows me well. She's in tune with me, et cetera. So last week she said that was the first podcast that I hated based on being your wife. That's what she said.
Oh.
And
ouch.
What part of it?
Well, the whole thing. Because she said that and this is true. So the balance for me is I don't want to do this unless I'm completely honest about who I am. Hence why I talk about betting, because I like to bet and all of those things. And the fact is, when people ask me, this is the type of person I am. When someone asks me, Mark, tell me how much money you make, I'd probably tell them. I'm not the guarded type at all. I'm not going to be like, oh, that's private, blah, blah, blah. I think you guys know me well enough to know that's true.
Yes.
The downside is, though, and I acknowledge this and she's right, is there's times when I'm talking about betting $1,000 or whatever the case is, which is true. It's what I do. But I also have to acknowledge that to a lot of people, that's insane. And
yes.
that makes it sound like I make millions of dollars a year, which I don't make. Now, the truth is, I make good money. I make a very good salary, but I'm not rich. Well, it depends on how you look at that.
You're rich.
I'm not as rich as you guys probably make me.
Shut up. You're rich.
I'm not as rich as how you guys probably make me seem from time to time. But
how we make you seem?
Well, yeah.
Come on.
You guys contribute a little bit.
I mean, are you C-dub rich? I don't know about that, but you got money.
Nobody is C-dub rich. But the overall point is, she says, you know, you need to get back to the part where you're, you know, nice and, you know, giving things away and whatever. So,
ooh, what are we giving away then?
Well, I don't know. But the reality is, for this podcast and this podcast only, because I may revert back to the bad mark eventually, but for this one, I'm chipper, baby.
So, does Katie give us permission to tell you just to shove it if you start turning into that mark again? Can we
probably,
just tell you to shut it?
Probably.
Yeah. All right.
So,
that sounds fun, doesn't it, Chris?
So, because I made my wife,
sure.
Because I made my wife upset last week, that's
nice,
my apology.
She's a very nice lady.
She is very nice.
She is. She's a good girl.
It's like I tell Gray. Every time I'm around his wife, he's damn lucky. I don't know why Julie's with you, but she is, and that's great for you.
You know, they
and he could say the same about my wife, I'm sure.
That's a good take.
Who's the coach who said whenever he goes to hire assistant coaches, he always wants to meet whoever they're dating or the wife because he wants to know someone that, you know, that married up because that's a good recruiter and he wants a good recruiter.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Rhodes or Prohm need an assistant coach, you know, I, according to Chris, I married up. So, you know,
Well, I knew you could do sales.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Where would we be without the women in our lives, man? That's the case.
So this week, I know we've talked about it a couple of times the last couple weeks, but we're actually going to talk some football this week.
Absolutely.
It's 15 days away of the season.
Yeah, I know.
I am so excited for football. And it's for me, guys, it's more like just I love fall in general. Like I like fall beers. I like the weather. I think our weather's the best. I like pumpkin patches. Like I'm just so excited.
I had Oktoberfest last night.
See, okay, that's fascinating to me that you did that because I've seen them out.
Yeah.
And it's always like I always have a problem when I'm at Hy-Vee and I see it in August because it's like
it's not there yet.
I want to do it, but I'm not quite in the once September.
September's
hits,
the fall.
Yeah.
So I was at B-Dubs with a couple of my buddies, and one of them ordered it, and I said I can't have an Oktoberfest until football starts. That's just a rule. But I had a sip of his, and it just tasted so good that I had to have
the Sam Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was solid.
Williams, what is your because. As everybody that listens to this knows, I'm like a Bud Light guy. I'm fine with that.
Yep.
But occasionally I drink one that's good. The one I want to try is not your dad's or father's
root beer.
Root beer, which everybody's raving about.
You'll love that because you're not like just a huge beer guy in general. You will really.
Where do I actually get it?
You can't get it because it's too
nowhere
damn good. It's sold out.
So no restaurant, though, anywhere locally has it?
Actually, if you go to the bar in Bondurant, they have it. They have bottles. Yeah, Founders has it. When I was out at Copper Creek for Hackfest, they had it.
Okay.
There's a lot of like different places like that have it, but you can't go into like a Hy-Vee or Fairway or anything like that and buy it. It's all sold out.
So my brother's brother-in-law is the beer manager for Hy-Vee in Waukee, and he says he gets it and it's gone in a day. But he says he'll go into one of the smaller, more obscure Hy-Vees that doesn't get as much traffic, and there'll be like 30 cases sitting there because no one thinks to go look there.
So it's around, just not in the high traffic areas.
It's kind of like how Templeton was, six, 7 years ago?
And now you can find Templeton.
Yeah.
If you are. But my question was, what is your, other than Busch Light, forget that, what is your favorite beer? Do you have one that comes out every fall that you actually look forward to drinking? Anything else?
Yeah, I would. The Shafley Pumpkin Ale.
Pumpkin Ale.
Would be
I assume
one.
It tastes a little like pumpkin, hopefully.
Well, there's a lot of like pumpkin ales, and a lot of them suck. This one's phenomenal.
Shafley?
Yeah, it's brewed out of St. Louis. And then I really, really love the Sam Adams Winter Lager.
That's a
winter
too, yeah.
But you probably can't touch that until December.
Correct. No, but like the... I'm just thinking like of beers that stand. Those are the two. Also in the fall, I really like the that Sam Adams Oktoberfest that Adam's talking about. I love Sam Adams beer. I feel like it's very rare for me to taste anything that Sam Adams makes and not like it.
I agree. We had Sam Adams at the Sprinkle you threw me, right? They had one that I tried that I didn't care for.
That was the Porch Rocker. You didn't like the Porch Rocker.
No, I wasn't a big fan.
Porch Rocker?
Yeah, that's what it was. That's the only one I had because then I had a bunch of Line and Kugel stuff too.
Yeah.
You should go ahead and give out the office address here for the Sam Adams people for all this free publicity.
Yeah, we should.
They're getting. It's not a bad idea.
Hey, speaking of that, we should probably pub our party.
We should.
I feel like we're behind in pubbing the party.
So what will that be? That'll be Saturday, September, is that 29th?
Not September, August.
No, it's not. Or August, yes.
The preseason party.
Preseason party.
1 week away.
Yeah, August 29th.
August 29th. We're throwing it at Bench Warmers. We do this every year. We're going to be giving away some prizes. We're going to be giving away two free tickets like we do every year.
Season tickets.
Season tickets for Iowa State.
Nice.
Show up there. Really, it's easy to get the raffle tickets, too. You buy a beer, they give you a raffle ticket.
Yeah.
At about, 9:30, 10 o'clock, we'll do the drawing.
Do we have a band?
We're working on that right now.
Okay.
I think I got something lined up, but I don't want to make any announcements yet.
No promises.
If you're short of a band, you just got to go to the old standby from last time.
Well, that's maybe who I'm reaching out to.
Possibly negotiating.
Yeah.
Because you are, after that meeting, you became their manager, right?
I did. I'm taking 15% of all earnings.
You closed down the bar with them.
So now I'm reaching out to Cyclone Fanatic and saying you got to pay them thousands of dollars.
Nice.
I'm getting 15% of that. So
love it. Love it. What happens at this party? for those that have not.
It's pretty much just a tailgate party that, you know, kicks off the season. Iowa State fans getting together, you know, having some beer, having some pizza, bench warmers. We're going to be doing our Thursday radio shows there starting September 3rd. So, you know, if you can't make the party too, but you want to come out and meet us or, you know, be there, swing out any Thursday night. We're there from 6 to 7. Typically, we stay till, what, 8:30, Chris? I mean, watch football games.
Until the pizza's gone.
Yeah.
I really wish that we didn't have that opening show, because I would love to go up to Minneapolis to watch TCU in Minnesota that night.
Or we could just watch it at Benchwarmers.
No, I know, but I'd like to go to that game. Okay. I think it'd be fun, just as a fan, and because that'll be a fun game.
That will be fun. And if you remember the comments Gary Patterson made last year after they won, well, we haven't played anyone yet. I mean, we beat two scrubs and a Big Ten team, so we haven't played anyone.
Yeah.
So you wonder... Now going at Minnesota, TCU's obviously the better team, right? I mean, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
But Minnesota's well coached.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. It's at home, and they got that little extra motivation. It'll be interesting. That'll be a fun game.
Opening night will be sweet, too, because then you have the Harbaugh era kicking off.
Is that the kickoff game? TCU, Minnesota?
Your Harbaugh love is
to the season?
That's the ESPN one.
What's the actual first game? That one, though, that kicks off football?
Well, you want me to look it up?
Last year... I remember this is where gambling comes in. You remember games because, you lost.
I think, ESPNU will have one that starts early or something, but I think TCU Minnesota is, the main event.
Do you remember the one that kicked off the season last year, though?
It was South Carolina A&M.
Yeah.
A&M destroyed them.
And the quarterback came out and just lit the world on fire.
Yeah, everybody was talking about the
Heisman. And, of course, I had bet South Carolina, got off to a good start there. Yeah, so... TCU, what's the spread in that? Spread's got to be out for that game, isn't it? TCU, Minnesota?
I'm guessing TCU's favored by 17.
Oh, I don't think it'll be that much.
You don't think so?
How good
they
is Minnesota
last year,
supposed to be?
I would say the – I'm just guessing. I haven't seen it.
It's at Minnesota. That's right.
My guess would be TCU by 11.5.
Minnesota is – so TCU is ranked what preseason rankings?
Top five. I'm not sure where.
Top five.
All right. Here's our schedule for opening night. Wow, this is some interesting games. Good job out of college football. At 5:00 Central, North Carolina, South Carolina,
I like that.
In Charlotte.
Okay.
That is on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
The game after that on ESPN is the TCU Minnesota game. That's at 8:00 Central.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be cool. And then also that night, you've got Michigan at Utah with a 7:30 kick on Fox Sports 1. So that's an interesting football game. There's a bunch of games, but I'll just Oklahoma State in the Big 12 is playing Central Michigan that night on ESPNU. So we have that to look for in Toledo. And Iowa State opponent plays that night as well.
It's a loaded Thursday.
FYI, I am correct on the line, 17.5.
Is it really?
Yep.
Wow, good
that
job, Gray.
I
didn't think it'd be that high.
If Minnesota is unranked and TCU is top five, I mean, that makes sense.
It opened at 14, according to a couple of these places, and it's moved up to 17.5.
I think TCU wants to come out and make a statement in that game that they're legit, so I can see them rolling Minnesota.
That Friday night, God, can I say boner?
Yeah.
I get such a boner.
I can't say the S word, but sure.
Well. Yeah, I get such a boner just thinking about college football right now.
He gets football chub. There's nothing wrong with that.
That Friday night will be fun because my guys, the Baylor Bears, are at SMU on that Friday and Washington Boise State as well.
Do you try to make a point to watch, obviously not all of the game, but whenever Baylor's on, do you try to catch some and watch?
What I do is I will DVR every Big 12 game every weekend.
Really?
And I spend the majority of my day Sunday. This is my little thing that I've done over the years. I just set up a little table in my basement. I will map out 3 hours to watch the Vikings game with my family, and we have a big Vikings party. It's what we always do. But other than that, I am going through my DVR, watching pretty much every... I try to watch every snap of every Big 12 game, although like last year with Kansas, I don't...
Yeah,
I'm not going to waste my time.
When it's over at the end of the first quarter, you can pretty much...
Yeah. So you're watching it, but I assume you're fast-forwarding.
Yeah.
watch, between plays.
I watch every. I try to watch every relevant snap of every Big 12 game.
Wow, so
that's what I try to do.
That's dedication.
I find Big 10 games are easier to watch on DVR than Big 12 because you can hit that 30-second fast forward, and from one play to the next, it's perfect timing. Big 12, you can't do that. You can't fast forward between plays because the hurry up offense.
Yeah,
that's the one difficult part of my new job with radio. I'm going to have to. I can't do that with the Big Ten and the Big. There's just no time.
Yeah, but honestly, like for your job, yes, you want to know a lot about college football. But do you think your listening audience really expects you to know, you know, Oklahoma State on a deep level?
No, I feel like I do for Cyclone Fanatic though, and for I need to be better. Like my goal this whole time was to be able to go toe to toe with Ross.
Yeah.
On the Hawks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be the weak link on the Hawks.
Where you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know these players. So you got to know their roster inside and out for sure.
That shouldn't be too difficult.
Well, I feel like I'm close. I've studied a lot about the Big Ten.
Could you name, as of now, could you name their first string depth chart on both sides of the ball?
No, I couldn't. But I think I know the important storylines, and I'm getting there.
Could you name Iowa State's?
Oh, yeah.
I won't ask you to do it because that's boring.
I could in my sleep.
I'd hope so.
I could name their third string probably across the board as well. I need a life.
I'm with you there, man.
Hey, man, pays the bills. You got to do what you got to do.
I need a life.
So
you've come up, Iowa State.
You've come up with over-unders.
I've come up with some over-unders. I've come up with just some questions in Iowa State football. I want to hear your guys' predictions, and then we can kind of go back and look and see who's crazy, who's not crazy, who had it right on the money.
So you're going to actually keep this list.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to actually need a pen from Chris. I don't have a pen.
I've got pens.
All right. So let's do this. So first, let's just start on offense, right? Because offense is the easiest one to probably get a good feel for. And I'll help you guys out when I do this, too, by telling you what the numbers were like last year. So you can kind of get a comparison on it.
A little perspective there.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll start off quarterback. Sam Richardson, over-under passing yards set at 3,000. So 3,000, that's 250 yards passing per game. Last year he threw for 241 yards per game. So you're looking at 9 extra yards per game. He did miss the Kansas game. So
over 3,000 yards.
Over 3,000 yards. That's where I'm putting it at. He's a senior, fifth year senior.
I want the over.
You want the over?
Yeah.
C-Dub's going over. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take I'm torn because I do think Iowa State will not be great, as I've already stated this year, which means that they're losing a lot, which means that they're throwing a lot, which means he's racking things up. However, and I don't wish this on him, but history, injury, et cetera, I don't think he plays all the games.
Okay.
I just don't, so I'm going under.
Going under.
That.
See,
I'm assuming that he does play every game.
If he plays all the games, he'll probably go over.
I mean, I think he's got the best group of wide receivers in Iowa State history at his disposal and a really young group of running backs. I think they throw a lot. And I think he'll have a couple games where he goes like 400 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Just the nature of the beast that is the league and possessions. I'm going to take the over. I'm not crazy confident, but I'll take it.
See, I think the passing game is going to take a big step forward this year, not only because he's a fifth-year senior, second-year Mangino's offense, but because Lazard's his second-year playing Montgomery. Bundridge is back. But here's why I'm going to say the under. The injury thing scares me a little bit, but, remember last year when Iowa State would get down 30 points and we're saying, why is Rojas not in the game? Why is Lanning not in the game? Well, it's because the coaches wanted to make sure that Richardson knew he was their guy. Well, now he's a fifth-year senior. There's no question he's the guy. So if Iowa State is winning a game big or they're down big at the end, I think they're going to be quicker to pull him out and get snaps for one of the other guys where that wasn't the case last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take the under, but I think he's going to get real close to 3,000. I think he's going to have a good year, but I'm taking the under.
No, I think it's all fair. I think,
and to set the record straight, I'm not wishing injury upon our quarterback, but it's a rough league.
It is rough league,
man. So I think he's going to miss time.
You do have
time.
A valid point. I mean, the chances are he's going to miss time at some point.
He has each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So
the only thing you hope that is he's not running for his life like he has been.
Well, which brings me to the next question. Over under rushing yards for Sam at 400.
Where was he last year?
421.
I'm going to take the under.
You're going to take the under on that.
Just because I think that they really are. I mean, it's been a focal point in the offseason for him to not have to do everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he has had to do everything the last 2 years. And he's had no – and I think it'd be more positive for the football team if he's the under there.
I think I overthink these things a little bit because that question comes down to, I don't think they're doing a lot of designed Sam Richardson runs.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, one, are the receivers able to get open? If they are, he can throw it. If they can't, then he can't throw it. And two, does the offensive line break down? Because if they do, that's when he's scrambling and running around. Based on those two things, I would also go with the under.
Under. Okay.
On that
one. So we got two unders. You know, I don't think he's going to run as much. I think he might have more big runs than he's had in years past. I think Iowa State will probably try to go vertical more, which will obviously get the safeties and cornerbacks deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so if it breaks down, he might be able to break off 20, 30-yard runs. So I think he runs less, but I think he runs for a higher average. I'm going to take the over.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Second guessing what? Yourself?
No, no, no. I'm just kind of thinking out loud. I think I'll find. You've done so far. You've done good.
I've done good. My questions.
Well, with the numbers, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, you made it fairly difficult.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is not all of them are over under. Some of them are just who's going to be the best at this position. Who's going to lead the team in these positions? Last year we had four guys that had between 44 and 46 catches: Montgomery, Lazard, Bibbs, and West. Bibbs and West are obviously gone. Bundridge is obviously going to fill that role, but they're between 44 and 46. Who leads the team in catches this year? And for comparison, the year before, Bundridge had 48 catches.
And who had what last year?
Lazard had 45, and Montgomery had 40. Lazard had one more, so Lazard had 46.
Montgomery really didn't play the first three games either.
Not much.
I mean, he barely got any snaps at all. See, this is it. God.
That's a tough question, isn't it?
Well, I'm such a loser. I'm going to openly admit.
Agreed.
Yeah, listen to this, though. I was lying in bed thinking about this exact question the other night, and it was keeping me up. Seriously. No, I'm not kidding.
But you never sleep to begin with, so anything keeps you.
This is from the guy that also says, I'm not a fan. You know, I'm not a fan.
I was lying in bed thinking about this because I have answered this before, and I said Montgomery because I feel like he, compared to where they were last September to now, Montgomery has grown leaps and bounds more than anybody because he was in a lower spot.
Yeah.
He and Sam have that connection that they've had since high school. Montgomery was rattling off like double-digit catch games in the middle of last year. However, so all summer long I've said Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of think that because of the high expectations that Alan Lazard had coming into his career, some people are kind of shortchanging him at this point because while he had a pretty damn good year,
yes, he did.
For a freshman, they still went 2-10, so he didn't get a lot of credit for what he was actually able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me actually thinks now, I think I would go with Alan Lazard because I think that he is that elite talent still. It's just he hasn't gotten the recognition for it. I don't know if he'll lead him in yards.
See, that's a whole other question.
Yeah, that's
too.
A totally different question. If you're talking just yards, I would say it's between Bundridge and Montgomery, but I'm going to go with Alan Lazard to lead the team in receptions.
Okay, and just for a quick point on the yards, Bundridge averaged 14.1 yards per catch in 2013, and both Montgomery and Lazard were at 13 last year.
Okay, so it's closer than I thought.
Yes.
Closer than
I think on yards, Bundridge will lead because, assuming he stays healthy, he breaks long ones.
Correct.
And that'll add up quick. On the receptions, I agree with Williams primarily because Lazard is not the number one receiver, so he doesn't get the best coverage, and he'll be better. I mean, freshman year to sophomore year, that's a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be better. I think he'd be 50-plus this year.
Yeah.
I just trust him more, too. Like, I know Montgomery's kind of a long way, but
my problem with Lazard is, to a certain extent, especially when you compare him to a Bundridge, I don't view Lazard as a deep threat. So I view him more possession receiver, which is fine because you're talking receptions.
Who's going to get Bibbs' work? Because that, I mean, that could be if
it, I think they move him all around.
I would agree, but I think at some point we'll be able to have this conversation and go, he's getting who's going to get Bibbs' looks in the red zone, I guess, is the biggest question. I think so. That's where losing EJ Bibbs hurts.
But you're
the
not.
Most
you're not talking about
20.
Someone filling in the tight end role. You're talking about running those routes that he was running.
It was obvious when Sam got into the red zone who he was targeting, and that was EJ Bibbs. Like, who's that guy?
Well, jump ball height wise, I think it's Lazard
or Montgomery. Either one of those.
Montgomery's 6'6", man.
Yeah, but just catching ability, I think it's Lazard. It's going to be Lazard down there.
Are we not looking at three guys that could potentially jump in there? And the three guys I'm thinking of, and these are just for catching purposes, Juwan Wesley had a decent freshman season, got called into play before he was probably ready, but the staff seems high on him.
I would say no just based off of rumblings, but
I would tend to agree, but I'm just throwing his name out there.
Okay, yeah.
Dondre Daly, shown flashes, hasn't been consistent.
Heard from a birdie on Sunday that he's maybe had the best fall camp of anybody on the team.
His nickname, by the way, should be Iowa State. Iowa State Daly. See what I did there?
There's your little tidbit on Dondre Daly.
He's okay. I like
best
it.
Fall camp of anybody.
So when we threw the recruiting party, this was probably 4 years ago when they signed him, he was only like 17 years old when he showed up to Iowa State. But I talked to one of the guys that recruited him, and he said that he was the steal of the class, and that kid was going to be a stud. Hasn't transpired yet. He's shown flashes, though. I like him. What about Chandler? Are we overlooking Chandler at tight end a little bit?
No.
Not even a little bit.
Nope.
No. No.
The tight ends are horrible.
Horrible.
Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
It's a bad group of tight ends.
Okay. All right.
My opinion. I mean, I think they'll be like...
Well, comparatively speaking, it looks even worse.
I think they'll be...
To last year.
Yeah. I mean, they're... They can salvage, like, the running back blocking. You know what I mean? The blocking.
Sure.
But I don't... As far as, like... Targets, absolutely not. I think you're overlooking. Yeah, I don't think we're overlooking him. I think
okay.
And it's no offense to the young man. It's just he's a walk-on for a reason. Or did he get a scholarship?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure.
Is there any wide receivers that we are missing out on that could step up and have a big year? Metters got injured last year, but I don't see him as a guy that could be in the top conversation. PJ Harris is obviously gone. I'm trying to think if there's somebody that we're missing out on.
Injuries dictate so much, though. It's almost impossible to know.
That's a good point.
But what I liked last year was we'd have drives where we had five guys catching the ball on the same drive. You didn't know where it was going.
Yeah.
It was going a little bit everywhere. So, I don't know. We're not going to have one guy with 90 catches and everyone else at 30.
What about that that JUCO kid? Allison?
Yeah. You think he'll play?
Yeah.
You do think he'll play?
Mm-hmm.
Really? That'd be interesting. That'd be a nice little steal because he came out of nowhere.
Yeah. No, I think he'll – I'm not saying I think he's like a big impact guy, but I think he plays.
You think any freshman wide receivers play? Hakeem Butler, Carson Epps?
No.
Denver
Johnson? Was it you that was telling me the good stuff about Epps?
I heard good things about Epps. I heard he was getting a couple reps with the first and second teams. That was just a rumor.
I don't think so. I don't – like if you're going to play a true freshman, it's not going to be a wide receiver.
No.
The deepest position on your team.
Unless that person is just too good not to keep off the field. Now, I love Hakeem Butler.
So do I.
I think he's going to be a stud, but he's a big receiver. We have two big receivers. You probably don't need him. I actually agree with both of you. I think Lazard's going to lead the team in catches. It's just going to be interesting to see how they use these guys because, like you said, you got to figure out who's going to be the Bibbs guy, who's going to be over the middle of the field. But I think you can move Lazard around from both inside and out. But you probably can't for any of the guys, but I trust Allen. I think he probably has the most overall talent of any of those receivers, so I'll go with Lazard.
Here's the over and under that I care about this year, which probably is not on your sheet. How many times will Iowa State punt on 4th and 2 or less? Did you guys happen to watch Real Sports last night?
No, I didn't.
No.
It was another story. They've done this before, but it was a story on the guy, I believe he's in Arkansas, that's won 4 state titles.
Never punts?
Not never, but has punted like 7 times in 10 years. So almost never punts. They onside kick it every time, and they have like 12 different onside kicks that they do. This year, they're adopting more of a rugby style. So think hook and ladder. So their goal is to keep the ball alive as much as possible. So receiver catches it, automatically two other receivers are funneling towards them for pitches and laterals. Right. Now you could say that's crazy to do it. The success says differently. But then they talked to some people about the mathematics behind it. When you're giving away your chance to score, which is essentially what a punt is doing, in exchange oftentimes for like 20 yards of field position. And the point is...
In high school. That's different, though. High school punters aren't as good.
Think about the times, and there's plenty of these during the course of an Iowa State football season, where we're even on their 40, their 45, it's 4th and short. We punt it, rolls to the end zone, comes back out, 20-25 yard difference.
No, I agree with you there.
Doesn't that stuff drive you nuts as a fan?
That one does.
It does to a point. My whole – and I'll defend Coach Rhodes here. just for the sake of conversation. I mean, last year the line at certain points was so bad. Do you remember like how bad Iowa State was on third and short all year? Like, I mean,
they couldn't just run it for a first down.
No, that was the problem. And I just don't – I think a lot of times they just – like, they were so bad on second and third and short that it's like, well, why do we think we can get it on fourth and short when they know exactly where it's going?
Yeah.
And, again, that's just devil's advocate. Hopefully, if the line's better, maybe that changes. Because the reason I – what's interesting about that is because we had that podcast up with Ben Brunn that I recorded yesterday. And I wrote something in the offseason about that, Mark. Like, this, that I want to see Rhodes be more
like he used to.
Yeah.
He used to be more aggressive in that.
And
for
Ben,
sure he
Ben
was.
Called me up and pointed out that very fact to me. Oh, just, you know, how bad the line was at that point.
Yeah. But I agree with that. But at the same time, last year was you were 2-10. You had what did you have to when you're 2-7 and you're not playing for a bowl game.
Yeah.
And it's 4th-and-2 on the 50-yard line.
Why are you punting?
Why are you punting?
Yeah, especially to that defense.
And I was saying, I was having this conversation with my father-in-law the other day, and I said, at a minimum, I think we go into a season knowing, okay, TCU, Baylor, whatever, we're going to lose, and we're probably going to get smoked, okay? Yeah. So if you know you're going in, you're 35-point underdog, 42 points, whatever the case is, and you know you're going to get smoked, why would you not go into a game like that with reckless abandon and say, we have nothing to lose?
Because you really don't.
So what is the point of punting to this offensive juggernaut that's going to get the ball, and then 3 plays later they're going to score a touchdown on you, and then, you know, you go again? You might as well utilize all 4 downs. Now, obviously, coaches don't do that, and they have their reasons. What I hope to see more than anything else, the positive in Rhodes being on the hot seat, and I think he needs to win probably at least 5 games this year, he's gone, is hopefully he'll go for more of that stuff. What does he have to lose by not going for it? And to me, that's one of the biggest upsides to being on the hot seat, is you have that mentality of, I have nothing to lose, I'm going to go for it.
It's a fine line, though, too. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, when it's, I think it was maybe TCU last year in the first quarter, second quarter, we had it at the 50-yard line, 4th-and-1, and we punted it, and I just did not understand that at all. There's two times specifically last year.
I blocked that game out of my mind.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that stuff. But you want to be aggressive, and you want to do it, but at the same time, you don't want people to think that he's just throwing his arms up in the air. You don't want to lose your team either. I think there's a fine line there.
But I think a team kind of appreciates it. Hey, guys, we're going to have fun, and we're going for it.
I think, you make a good point, Adam, and like, you're 2-10, what do you have to lose? But you also have the responsibility to try and win every individual game.
Well, I think,
you know what I'm saying?
My argument would be that is trying to win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my argument, too. I don't think punting to TCU is trying to win the game when it's 4th-and-1.
I agree. Playing field position with TCU is insane.
It doesn't
make any sense.
Let's just go to, like, I'm trying to think of one of the earlier games. I can't think of, like, a specific scenario like you did. When you have no faith that your line can get you the push you need to get it on 4th-and-2 midfield.
But I understand that, but the ex-wide receiver in me thinks, is it that tough to run a 2-yard hitch?
No, I know. And then
it's not. It's just not.
No, I agree.
Other teams do it against us every play.
They're better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, quarterback stands up, throws the ball, the guy's open.
Yeah, but
don't tell me blocking. It's a 2-yard hitch. Blocking is not an issue at a shotgun and a 2-yard hitch. Or
did you see the line at certain points last year?
Shut up.
And West Virginia jumps out at me, because West Virginia at a certain point in that game just was just running down the field on us. We weren't able to stop them, and we had a 4th-and-short in their territory and punted it, and then they went down and scored, and that was a close game. We could have won that game.
Yeah.
So it's instances like that.
In the Texas Tech games.
That drive me crazy.
Yeah, I agree with you on those.
Anyway, Gray, what do you got? More?
So, running backs. What running back is going to lead the team in rushing this year?
Mike Warren.
None.
No hesitation.
None.
Now, you go with Sam Richardson? You think Sam Richardson's going to lead the team in rushing?
Probably.
Well, he has, hasn't he?
I think we're going to be a pass-heavy team. I do.
Let me get these stats up here for you for last year.
Would that be shocking if Sam Richardson was the leading rusher?
No, he did last year,
didn't
he?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be shocking. It wouldn't be a very good sign either. But
so, last year, Richardson actually gained 606 yards.
Sacks took him back.
Yeah, net took him to 421. So, I guess I should have revised my question to you.
Yeah, it's part of the game.
Wimberly was 660. Neely was 295. Iowa State hasn't had a 1,000-yard rusher since when? Was it Enos Hayward?
Or no, A-Rob, didn't he?
Did A-Rob ever go over 1,000?
I thought he did.
It's been a while.
I'll look that up.
I mean, it seems like an eternity ago. That's why I'm just throwing
it out there. My answer is
nobody.
The quarterback. I mean, yeah. That's their leading rusher. So
I'll take Mike Warren.
I'll take Mike Warren, too. And let's be honest, we don't know anything about these guys. We've heard good things about Warren. Tyler Brown's got good speed. Thomas looks like a truck at running back, but we don't know. But I think I will take Thomas as the leading touchdown carries. What do you think on that? You think he gets more touchdowns?
The freshman?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
You don't think they give him to him in third and goal from the one?
No.
I think we throw
the ball. Well, they might. I just don't.
I think we throw the ball.
I'm not going to take the true freshman. I'm not going to go on that limb.
Okay.
You want your two-yard hitch. There you go, baby.
I'd be more willing to take Mike Warren on that account as well.
You take him on both.
Alexander Robinson ran for 1,195 yards in 2009.
All right, there you go.
Average 5.2 per carry.
Okay. Are we going to ever get anyone that's going to run over for 5 yards a carry again?
Ever again?
In my lifetime, sure.
I mean, yeah, I think so. Probably not this year.
There's got to be another Troy Davis out there somewhere.
Last year, Wimberly led the team at 4.4 yards per carry. So,
Wimberly was a guy that Wimberly was totally wasted.
He was. Wimberly had more talent than he ever showed at Iowa State. I feel the same way about Darius Reynolds.
We're not going to be a great rushing team, period.
Why do you have to be so negative?
We don't have the road graders up front.
Exactly.
We've got...
So, I've been told all offseason that Wendell Tyus is an NFL guard who can just maul people.
Okay, Sam Richardson mentioned that he's an NFL talent one time. Who else has called him an NFL guard?
Well, you wrote articles about it after that.
I didn't. Yeah. I was in a podcast. That's all it was.
The bottom line is...
I think it was actually in a CF article.
You can tell from how big I am that I used to be an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
But it's easier to pass block than run block.
Exactly.
Run block. You got to move some bodies out of the way. Stand your ground on passing.
I think they're in a process, a recruiting process of changing how they're recruiting the offensive line.
Instead of those lean guys?
Yeah, and they're not quite there yet where they need to be. I mean, I think it's getting better.
Are we going 350-plus? Is that what we're trying to do?
It's an experienced group. If Burton is healthy, and I listened to the podcast with Bruns where he said that Burton's kneecap would slide out of place and back in.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
So you get
him
and
healthy.
He was the healthy one.
And he's considered probably the best of the offensive linemen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Burton is. You put him healthy, you put Tyus at guard, and if he's the mauler they say he is, Campos...
I think Tyus will be good. I still question like how much he'll actually be able to play. He's just so...
Big?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, maybe 50-60% of snaps.
Because he's fat, he can't play that much?
Correct.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but there's a reason he didn't play last year, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the fact that he's a huge mauler, but like... If he was that good, if he's truly an NFL talent, how did he not play last year?
That's a hell of a question.
So that's why, like, I'm not in on the line. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I think Richardson can play. I know the wide receivers can play. And I'm really not that concerned about the running backs. But if the line sucks, the offense is going to be just what we've seen the last couple of years.
When it comes to sports, I don't think there's anything more impressive than a huge human being that's athletic.
Yeah.
Have you guys been watching Hard Knocks or not?
Dude, I watched the first one. I got the second on DVR.
Vince Wilfork from New England. That guy's...
Watching him shoot hoops.
That guy's pushing probably...
350?
Well, probably more than that. And he's quick. To be that big and also be quick is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, no wonder he makes so much money. I mean, that's rare to be like him. And he can shoot a basketball, too, because he's athletic. He just likes to eat.
Which one of the quarterbacks gets more snaps, Lanning or Rojas?
I hope Lanning.
Lanning, I think I would go Lanning. More just because I think they might use him in other places, too.
You know, we're starting to hear that, but we heard the same thing last year.
We got lied to.
Don't we hear this kind of talk every year? And there's going to be...
Depends on who it comes from, depending on if I listen.
Yeah, who's this one from?
I'm not telling
you. Come on, Chris.
Are you sourced in on this story?
No. Okay. I wouldn't even say that I am. That's why...
All right.
I just feel like, I mean, Lanning's at a different spot this year compared to where he was last year. He actually would be game ready now, mentally. And, I mean, if you needed two quarterbacks, it just makes more sense to build for the future than it does with Grant Rojas. So that's why I would go with Lanning.
Wasn't there an actual article about Lanning like 2 days ago?
Yesterday was
Tribune?
A big story.
Or was it Tribune?
Rob Gray's got one up on
Cyclone Fanatic
right now.
I don't know why you're going to the Tribune.
Because I saw one on my Google tours that I do somewhere. Jeez, man.
All right, let's switch it over to the defense here. Defense is obviously, I would say, a bigger question mark than the offense. Iowa State is losing its number one sack guy, Corey Morrissey. He had 6 sacks last year.
Ooh.
Trent Taylor had 2. Dale Pearson had 2. Now you're bringing in Jahostin Thomas. You got Tucker.
Jahostin. Yeah, Jahostin Thomas. The H is silent.
The H is silent. Okay.
Just because you're going to be saying his name a lot this year. Because
he's that good?
I think he is.
That's all. Well, so is he going to lead the team in sacks? Who leads the team in sacks this year? And then not only do you tell me who, how many do they have? Because as you know, getting pressure on the quarterback has been an issue at Iowa State for a decade.
Here's the problem with Thomas. He's still a summer JUCO. I know he's been here a while. I still think it's going to take him the non-conference to, like, get his swagger. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think it's going to take him a little bit longer. And then you got to factor in the 3-4 thing. I don't know how much of that they're going to be doing.
I can give you my easy answer.
Okay,
no clue. No clue.
I
don't think it's any more than 5.
Thomas or Dale Pearson.
No player will have more than 5.
See, but I feel like if they're going to do the 3-4, Dale Pearson scares me because of his size.
Yeah, he's not very big.
So that I won't go DeMond Tucker because I think he'll get double teamed in the middle. I guess I would go Jahostin Thomas.
You're gonna go? Wow, that's exciting.
I would go with him. Yeah.
So what you're saying is we don't have any Oakman sitting on our bench ready to make their name this year.
I'm like I told Brunson.
He looks somewhat Oakman-ish. I mean, he's not thick.
He's not 6'9", 300 pounds.
He's like, what, 6'7", 260? Yeah. I mean, he's a big boy.
He's a big dude. Like, he's a different guy. Like, he is.
Hopefully.
He's a different level of D lineman that Iowa State's seen. It's just.
And from the sounds of it, he's got more bend and can get off the ball a little more than David Irving, because David Irving looked apart.
Jeez. It still makes me sick that Coe and Irving had to get kicked off the team.
Well, had to. Debatable.
Quit being a knucklehead.
It's debatable if had to, you know.
Go ahead and go on your...
No, I'm not going on a rant.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I hope they enjoyed their 2-10 season. I hope they enjoyed it. I bet it was worth it to get 2 cancers off the team and still go 2-10. Makes sense. Anyway.
It's not that tough to not be stupid.
It's not. But at the same time...
Just don't be an idiot.
You know?
David Irving's just...
What was Rodney Coe's deal? He's just a bad teammate?
Sounds like it. Everybody hated him.
Okay, well.
David Irving deal is still like, because this is a guy who was already in trouble for alleged, and I use the word alleged, I have no idea if it happened, the domestic thing.
Yep.
And then to...
But they let him play the next game, though, Chris. Like, that, I understand your point, and if it's true, get rid of him.
No,
but he played the next week.
But to be stupid enough to be carrying a stop sign around at a riot and in the year 2015.
I love it.
Stop the press as he was carrying a stop sign. Jeez.
That's called vandalism, my friend.
Oh, okay. Well.
In the riot that did in Visha.
Yeah. Single-handedly.
Did he hit anyone with the stop sign? He was picking. This is my spin. Someone was throwing it around. He was helping people. He picked it up and he returned to his place. That's such an easy spin.
That look on his face, really.
I'm sure when they called him into the office, they said, "Were you returning the stop sign?" Coach. That's what I was.
The
doing.
Look of glee.
Coach doesn't say it. Coach, this is how you phrase the question. David, I saw that picture. You obviously were just returning that, right? Yeah, Coach, I was. All right,
here's
good. We're good to go.
Here's the problem with David, though. It's like I do think that he was given plenty of strikes.
Yeah.
Perhaps even his 3.
I mean, shorter.
Strike 4 and 5 was being plastered all over newspapers, carrying a stop sign again.
Short of beating a woman, usually they probably get more than 1 strike for those minor infractions, drinking or whatever.
My point is, I think if that's David's first time being in trouble, it's probably not dismissal worthy.
Yeah.
I agree with Coach Rhodes on that move.
I agree too. Do you have any other good questions, or they all suck like sacks? No, nobody.
Who did you take on the sacks?
I'm actually going differently. I think Trent Taylor.
And that's fair.
I think
Trent Taylor over Dale Pearson showed a lot at the end of last year.
Yeah,
but I think Taylor was the opposite. I think he plateaued.
Yep.
I don't think he was really prepared for a 12-game Big 12 season.
I think Taylor's got a little bit more size. I think he's got a little bit more talent.
Yeah, I would agree.
Dale Pearson's a nice player too, though. I do think, though,
that Iowa State has 3 good defensive ends.
They do. And they have 2 quality defensive tackles, I would say, too, with Devlin Cousins and DeMond Tucker. Not great, but quality. Would you agree with that statement?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I really would.
I think DeMond Tucker, typically you don't see any sacks out of defensive tackles. I think DeMond Tucker gets 2 to 3 this year. I think he can get a couple sacks this year.
I think he can get some, but I don't think he leads the team.
I don't either. I didn't say that.
Yeah. I think he's right. I just think he gets – the problem with him and Thomas is I don't think either one of them are going to be able to play more than like 30 or 40 snaps a game effectively.
Okay.
Either one of them.
Well, I know this is a boring question according to Charter, but who leads the team in tackles?
Man, I wish
cotton,
I had a,
cotton balls.
Cotton Moya led the team last year with 77.
Yeah, it's going to be cotton balls again.
Cotton balls again is what Charter's going with.
Yep.
TJ Murchison was actually second with 76.
Which is, that shows you how bad the defense was.
Yes. Knott was third with 74. He's not even a starting linebacker right now. Javon Miller, not on the team, 68. And he only played in 8 games because that, I think, cheap shot.
Right.
Tribune, Sam Richardson were right after that. That shows you no one on the front 7, I guess, besides Knott and Miller. But it's bad when you have more safeties getting tackles and your quarterbacks are getting more tackles. That's not a good sign.
No. I'm trying to think of a linebacker. I don't think Levi Peters is the guy yet.
Are you going to go with Harris?
God, that scares me.
Typically, middle linebackers are the guys you look at and say they're going to get the most tackles.
Them and the Will. It's nobody on the line.
Now, you talk, and you said you liked Northrup and Jones, correct?
Yeah.
And then I just saw, isn't Harvey the one that's actually first team right now?
Harvey's playing first team, yeah.
Did you get a chance to look at him at all when you were at that practice?
I didn't, because I didn't know that he was that good.
He'll be interesting.
I wasn't really that interested in him because I didn't anticipate him being in that spot.
He's the wild card, isn't he?
Yeah. But he's still, man, there's none of the – I'm going Cotton Moya.
Cotton Moya again. So I got two Cotton Moyas. I hope that we shore it up a little bit better. I'll go Harris. I think it's the safest pick is to go middle linebacker.
Chris is always copying me.
Of all the linebackers, that's the safest pick.
Yeah. I love Cotton Moya. I think the best player on the defense is Cotton Moya.
I think the safest pick overall is Cotton Moya, though, based off of what we know.
Yeah, I agree.
For the record, I will be calling him Cotton Balls for the rest of the year.
That's just
the way that I roll.
Yeah.
Do you have one more good one to end on? Because I do want to touch on quickly before we end here. Do we have time? How much time we got?
We got about 15 minutes.
All right. I want to touch on the two trending topics related to sports, which is James Harrison.
Yep.
And the softball team. And who cares? I don't care about softball. Whatever. But the larger story revolving around that, I want to let you guys chime in.
You guys, I've been talking about it on the radio all week.
I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, nobody listens to the radio. More people listen to Fallcast than you guys on 1460. So okay. That's, yeah.
Well, I was going to say you guys can just hammer this out because I don't want to give my take again and again and again and annoy our listeners.
How about we assume that everybody listens to your radio show, but that isn't the case.
How about we do our take, and if you think it's idiotic, you step in and say you're an idiot.
That's fair.
All right. Did you have another Iowa State one, though?
No, I'll skip over it. Don't worry about it, guys.
So James Harrison basically tweeted a picture. I think it was a tweet of
Instagram.
His son's participation trophies.
Yes,
and said he was sending them back, and made the point that he doesn't want his boys to grow up to be men, thinking that they get rewarded for simply showing up.
Yes.
You know, life is more about winning. Not all of us win. So the question is, what's your takeaway on that? And we all have children, so this makes it more relevant, I think, when you do, and you say, what would I do in this case? I don't think I would have my son send it back. I don't think I would send it back for him. But I do think that we are living in the beginning of the biggest wussification of any generation we've ever seen. And I'm willing to bet that every generation has said that about the generation that's coming up behind them. But man, kids are soft. Now, and frankly, you know, and it's just I cringe for my child a little bit because, again, we've talked about nobody plays outside anymore. I grew up doing that. My kid's constantly on his iPad, which drives me nuts. But, you know, in lack of another child in the neighborhood to go play with, that's just kind of what you do. But was James Harrison correct or was he off base?
Well, I guess my first question is, and I don't know if they've said this, how old are his kids? I think that's important.
I got the impression they're like under 10.
Important too. Yeah.
I mean, because to me, I mean, I have Jake's turning 9 here in a couple weeks. Owen's 3. Now, when Jake was 6, if you had got a participation ribbon for playing soccer, totally cool with that.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now Jake's 9. It's getting a little bit more competitive. No, I don't. I agree with him that you want to earn what you get. And if you want something and you don't get it, what it does is just lights a fire up your you-know-what, and it makes people work harder. And I think people are afraid of failure. Parents are afraid of having their kids fail, and they want to soften them for that blow.
Or their kid being left out. But they got trophies, I didn't.
Yeah, but sometimes having a failure in life is a good thing. Then it's up to the parents to say, hey, this feeling sucks, doesn't it? Yeah. It's a terrible feeling not getting what you want to do. But what are you going to do about it now? Are you going to sit and pout and wish you would have done it? Or are you going to go out there and are you going to work hard to, if you're a basketball player, are we going to go out every night in the driveway and are we going to shoot and work on your jump shot so next year you win first place and you get a trophy? I think... if his kids are 5 and 7 years old and he did this, I think that's wrong. If the kids are 8, 10, 12, then I have no problem with it whatsoever.
A few weeks ago, too, on the Murph and Andy, they were talking about because at that point, I think Real Sports had done a story on the trophy culture, and then it just so happens this James Harrison one came out a couple weeks later. But I think one of the ways around this, if you want to give participation trophies, at least designate something specific for each kid on the team.
Yeah.
Like most improved or best attitude, or find something that's legit and reward them for that so they have something good to feel about. But just because you happen to do the minimum, which was showing up, getting rewarded for that doesn't seem right to me. And I'm glad when my dad's dead, I will probably not remember a lot of what he said, but the one thing he told me growing up, which I've never forgotten, and it's probably something that I will definitely teach my son, is my dad said, Mark, life is not fair. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Life is not fair, because he never wanted me to say that's not fair. Whatever. Life isn't fair. So, there's winners in life. There's losers in life. And not everyone in life gets a trophy, especially when I think where it hurts our children is once they're out on their own and they're looking for jobs and they don't understand why they didn't get the job because, well, I have a degree. Why didn't they hire me? They should have hired me because someone was better than you. That's why. The sooner you teach a child that, I think the better when they become an adult.
One thing I kind of disagree with you on, you said that children now are softer. I see a lot of adults that are entitled right now that think that they should be given something without working for it. I don't think that's, and I think that's why you maybe see your kids doing it now. It's because the parents are the ones that are setting that tone. So I have a hard time putting it off as kids, as the kids are the ones that aren't as tough. I think it really comes back to the older generation right now, not having them go out and work on it like they did 50, 60, 70 years ago.
A lot of parents, too, are so quick to defend their children. Like, if someone else came to the parent to tell about what their kid did, you know, your kid pushed my kid, it'll be like, well, your kid probably did something to start it, or, you know, my kid would never do that.
Sure.
I've always told myself I do not want to be that parent.
Yeah.
I want to hear out the situation, understand it, and say, okay, based on what I'm hearing, then yeah, that's accurate. But I think kids just, little Johnny would never do that. He's an angel. Meanwhile, Johnny's a little demon. You know, he would absolutely do
that. Johnny's a little douche.
Yeah, Johnny has douche face. So I don't know. I'm in complete agreement with James Harrison. The problem is he wasn't the right torchbearer for that message because of prior issues he's had. So people are like, oh, he does that, but then he, like, you know, beats a woman or whatever he's done in his past. It's checkered. That doesn't help the message. But I agree with the message about trophies. So, Williams, I didn't hear your show. Are you in agreement?
The reason I didn't really want it, because I don't really have that staunch of an opinion on it either way. I see both sides to it.
It's a little overblown of an issue.
I'm tired of it, frankly.
Yeah.
It comes down to politics, really. I mean, you can draw a pretty staunch parallel there. I guess my deal is, of everything I just heard, I agree with Adam the most on it. It depends on the age.
Yeah.
That's, to me, is the biggest thing. Like, there's no way I would ask, like, my 7-year-old daughter to do that, or is she, you know, and I don't have experience. She's 6 months old, so I haven't really been there or done that yet. So maybe my mind will change by the time that comes around. I think that when we're talking like teenagers and stuff, clearly then we have a problem if that, you know what I mean? Would I make my kid who's 8 give back? No, I wouldn't. I absolutely wouldn't do that. But I think that if I'm doing my job as a parent, like,
you maybe have a talk with them.
You realize that the participation ribbon isn't the why. You should want that trophy.
Well, I think,
you know what I mean? Like, you go that route.
I think as a parent, you have to also know your child.
Yeah.
You know, some kids, I mean, you know, when your kid's 6 years old, hey, my kid's never going to be an athlete, but they like to participate. They like to be around their friends. So
that's the only trophy they're going to get.
Let them have it, man. They're never going to be, like, for them, that's fine.
We assume James Harrison's kids are probably going to be decent.
Yeah, he probably wants them to be college football players at some point. So,
yeah.
And they're probably athletic enough that that could happen if they work hard enough. Don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Don't have a problem with it. I don't – returning it, he probably could have got his point across without making him go back and return it, but
so
whatever. It's not a big deal.
The second story, which will go away within a day or two, but which was interesting was the girls' softball team vying for the Little League World Series. They weren't in Williamsport yet. They're out in Oregon. Basically got eliminated from their tournament because another team tanked on purpose. Then they were forced to play that team, beat them, and then lost. But my question was this. Sometimes when we're playing a sport, we think the overall goal is winning. You want to win. That's the goal. The goal of the game
is
to win.
Just win, baby.
The question becomes, though, how you win. Does that matter? And my response is, yeah, it does. Like if you said to me going back, so we went to the state championship game my senior year at Ames High and we lost. We got our butts kicked by Iowa City High. But if Iowa City High had, for whatever reason, just rolled over and let us win the game, would it have been the same winning the state title? Absolutely not. No question about it. If you said you're going to win every game this year because every game's a forfeit and the other team doesn't show up so you don't have to play,
would that mean something to you? That's completely different than what took place for the girls, though.
No, but the point is they didn't try their best to win the game.
No, I agree.
And I think when you're playing a game, you need to try your best no matter what the circumstances are. And tanking has no place in sports at all.
Well, I mean, I completely agree with you. I think the bigger issue here is their age again. It comes back to the age.
Exactly.
You need to look at this as everything when the girls or boys are playing sports, it's a teaching moment. I mean, 99% of these people aren't going to go play college or professional sports.
Yeah.
Sports is great, though, for teaching them the parallels of life, working hard, doing things the right way, being competitive, because you got to be competitive when you go and work. And laying over and playing a game not to win, to me, is just a wrong example that you want to set to kids. I don't even understand that. As a competitive person, I never understand saying, I'm going to lose a game on purpose because I don't want to play this team. Hey, I'm going to beat this team, and then I'm going to worry about the team next.
And in defense of the girls playing, it wasn't their choice.
No,
this was the coach saying, this is what you're going to do, and they did it.
They're young, impressionable kids.
Because that's what you do. But the coach robbed them of playing a game. Honestly, I mean, if they had played
on a huge stage,
I think it was a good teaching moment for both teams, and I posted this actually on Cyclone Fanatic yesterday. The Iowa coach, and I'm not going to kill him. I mean, if you sat there and watched this one team try to lose intentionally so that you couldn't make it, I'd be pissed too. You'd be pissed, Chris. We'd all be pissed, right? Mm-hmm. You go, you bring it up to the attention, and then what they did is they said, you guys will play a game the next day to make up to see who will advance, right? Well, he still said that we're going to protest this game, win or lose.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I think you sit there in the dugout, you look your girls in the eye and say, hey, this is unfortunate. This team did this, but you know what? In life, sometimes things aren't fair.
They're out of
sometimes
your control.
People do things that they shouldn't do, and it affects you. Now, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to whine? Are you going to pout? Are you going to throw a pity party for yourself? Or are you going to do something about it? And we have a chance to do something, which is win this game and then go forward with it. And they did win the game. I didn't like, though, before the game when he said, we're going to protest this win or lose.
They were lucky they got the chance to play because if cooler heads had not prevailed, they would not have gotten another chance to play. But this happens a lot. When I was hearing about this story, there was a case in high school basketball last year. I don't know if you guys saw that, where two teams were playing each other and both were trying to improve their playoff seed.
Yeah.
Or I don't know how it all worked. But anyway, both teams were tanking the game.
And they both got disqualified.
Intentionally missing free throws, not shooting, the whole deal. And they both got kicked out of the tournament. Complete agreement on that.
Yeah, get rid of
them. If you're going to play, try your best. Yeah. It doesn't seem like that tough of a thing to understand. And Williams over there, once again, doesn't want to chime in.
No, I don't really have a lot to add. I think you guys covered a lot of good stuff. The only thing I would add, and I talked ad nauseum on the radio about this. I mean, we talked about this for 2.5 hours on Tuesday. I mean, my biggest question, and again, this is easy for me to say and tell my kids in the situation, but if you're like a parent on and your kid's playing for that team at like 11 years old or 12 or however old
I would say something to the coach immediately.
Well, that was my deal. Like, I would probably pull my kid out of the game. I wouldn't do it in like a way where
Would you have the balls to do it? Because that's a tough question.
That's what I said. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I'd do it. But like, my whole deal is, I mean, I wouldn't stand up and rant and get in the coach's face or doing anything like that.
Quietly pull him aside.
But I mean, you're kind of permitting it. If you're just allowing it to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and maybe there's four or five other parents who feel the same way, but not everybody in the world's a leader, you know?
Well, typically we're a sheep culture.
Yeah.
We follow the crowd.
So
we do what the crowd's doing.
Maybe not even that, but like, you step up and do something. You say this is wrong. Like, if you just permit it, then you're promoting it. And
it's tough to pull your kid off too, because they're part of the team. They want to be on that team. They don't want.
No, I get it.
But I think you go over there and say, Coach,
I would never do that.
I
would never do that in high school or middle school. But at that age, like, I think it's okay to maybe do.
You know, it's a great show.
You're setting a bad example for the kid at a young age where they're still learning right from wrong.
If you're
still trying to figure out,
if you're a parent out there, I've got a recommendation for a TV show. I don't know if you guys have ever watched this, but on ABC's on Friday night, they have a show called What Would You Do? Have you ever heard that
show? I've heard about it. I haven't watched it.
So basically what it is actors, hidden cameras, go into a real-life situation like a restaurant, and they have the actors within earshot of other people portraying something. Like last time it was a white girl is wanting to get married to a guy that is Muslim, okay, and they're meeting the parents for the first time. And they're saying things like, oh, you can't marry him, he's Muslim, like right to her face. Very offensive things.
Yeah.
Or there was a baby store where the clerk, who was the actor, was talking to this lesbian couple saying like, I'm not comfortable selling you something. Shouldn't there be a dad involved? You know, just stuff like that. And the show is showing the unsuspecting people and how they respond to this. Do they say something? Do they just quietly look the other way? Do they leave? And then ultimately someone says something and then they come out and interview that person. Why did you say something? But it's a show that shows the people that are out there that aren't the sheep. They're the people that will stand up, even when it's awkward to do so, to say something because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a show, in my opinion, that parents should have their children watch and say, these are people who aren't afraid to do what's right, even when it's uncomfortable. And that's the way that I want to raise my children, to do what's right when you know you should do something, versus like saying, oh, I didn't want to get involved. It wasn't, you know, and that's what a lot of people say, because they interview some of the people that don't say something. Mm. Oh, I didn't think it was my place to get involved. But so do you want your children to be a leader? And that's what a leader would do, in my opinion, versus a follower, which is, I'm not going to do anything because it's awkward. So what would you do? Check it out. It's a good show.
What channel?
5. Okay. ABC on Friday nights.
I think I get that channel.
You all do right. Good ABC.
Good discussion, gentlemen.
Was I nicer today?
You were very nice today.
My wife.
It feels
approve.
Good to talk about football again. I'm looking forward to our picks that we're going to start up here in a couple weeks.
Man, we're almost there.
So someone tweeted at us saying that the two losers should have to wear an outfit of the winner's choice to the football recruiting party. I think that's a great idea.
Oh, man.
I do. That's fine. I'll do any of that. I really think we should do like a trophy, though.
Why can't we do both?
No, we can. I don't care.
I think the trophy's nice.
So you obviously are going to lose because you're just not very good at picks anymore. You peaked early. And
No, I just had that ridiculous year 2 years ago or
like
3 years.
70%.
Dude, as much football as you claim to watch, you should be great.
Yeah,
sometimes you overthink it.
I think it hurts you, honestly.
Paralysis by analysis.
I truly think that it hurts. In my scenario, I think it hurts me because I overthink everything.
I always like it too, from the gambling perspective. Like certain games you look at and you're like, clear feel.
Yeah.
And other games you look at and you're like, no clue.
And then you psych yourself out.
No clue.
The clear feel ones, sometimes they're the worst ones though. A lot of times.
Like every game Florida State played last year.
Or like Iowa State.
I'm like, oh,
basketball.
I know this one. Nope. They refuse. They refuse to cover spreads.
One thing I've learned over the years as far as, because I pay a lot of attention to the lines. They're just interesting to me. The best tip I could give any gambler is when the non-conference basketball season rolls around.
Yeah.
Watch the Hilton Coliseums, the Fog Allens, the Cameron Crazies, the really like ruckus arenas.
Mm-hmm.
Those crappy low major schools never cover in those places. I mean, it happens never is too strong of a word, but that's where you can really clean.
One example where you're wrong, and it drove me nuts last year, was Iowa State. We played the school from Michigan, drawing a blank. Why am I thinking like Oakmont? Let's not
Oakland.
Read. Oakland.
Yeah.
They covered. We was like we were a 20-point favorite,
yeah,
something like that, and we got it. I was watching that game, and it was creeping up. We got it to like exactly 20.
Yeah,
and then they went on like a 9-0 run.
One thing, yeah. One thing that you always have to be careful for when going with that strategy though is making sure like students are in session.
Yeah,
because it doesn't really work if the arena is. But I'm talking more the places like Kansas specifically where it doesn't matter who's in town.
Yeah.
That place is going to be insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one tip I think that in the back in the day when I did gamble a lot, I would take 10 WNBA games and bet the under on all of them.
I would have told you to call 1-800-BETS-OFF once you're betting the WNBA.
No, but six or seven of the unders hit every night. If you just take them all is the key. Yeah.
That's worse than betting on preseason football. WNBA. That's
we know a guy who does the preseason. We do
every game. Yeah. Every single preseason.
And he does pretty well, too.
People
actually.
Do it. I just saw Lee Sterling publishing some of his picks for preseason. I'm like, how in the world can you gauge?
You can't. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. That seems dumb to me.
All right. We're past an hour, boys. Fun podcast today. Good stuff.
August 29th. Be there.
August 29th. Check it out. Our football kickoff party. It's probably my favorite night of the year just because everybody's in a good mood still.
Everyone's excited for football. A couple free tickets to give away.
We're undefeated that night. Undefeated.
All right. Talk to you guys later. MarkCharter.com, at Iowa Real Estate. Give them a follow on Twitter. Also, our @Fawcast. You can check it out on Twitter as well. So long, guys.